Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamaya, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio. Over the next half hour, we'll take you through some of the day's main news, including those plans for a major new multi-purpose development in the heart of Douglas. They were approved this morning. They've been given the green light, so we'll bring you the latest on what that could mean for the town centre. Also tonight, doctors on the Isle of Man say there's a critical shortage of beds at Nobles Hospital. We'll hear from Manx Care's chief executive. As the latest bus strike nears its end, where do negotiations stand now? Is there any sign the dispute could be resolved anytime soon? And a school leaders union speaks out about the experiences of its members when it comes to whistleblowing. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. So do stay with us here on Manx Radio. We will start, as ever, with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan this evening. Fastamai.
Plans for a multi-purpose development in central Douglas, including apartments, parking and a cinema, have been given the go-ahead. The project on the site of the former Lord Street bus station was approved by the planning committee this morning. Efforts to reconfigure wards at Nobles Hospital have been taking place at the worst possible time. It follows concerns raised by the Medical Staff Committee over what it says is a critical shortfall in inpatient beds. Theresa Cope is the chief executive of the health body.
None of this is how we would ideally wish for care to be delivered. We are responding to some real pressures. We need a bigger emergency department. We do need a clear pathway in the clinical decision unit to be available as quickly as possible.
A school leaders union says concerns raised by its members have often been overlooked or ignored during the latest evidence session of Tynwald's whistleblowing inquiry. The National Association of Head Teachers says the evidence presented does not reflect the lived experience of many of its members. And a yellow weather warning has been issued for coastal overtopping around the island tomorrow. The areas most likely to be affected are Shore Road in Rushen, Castletown Prom, the northern end of Douglas Prom and potentially Laxey 2. It's seen two sailings cancelled over the next 2 days. Further afield, those relying on home heating oil in the UK are to be given help with their bills after surging wholesale costs. The UK Prime Minister's announced a support package worth £53 million. Meanwhile, Donald Trump wants the countries most affected to contribute to military operations.
We strongly encourage other nations whose economies depend on the Strait far more than ours. You know, we get less than 1% of our oil from the Strait. Some countries get much more. Japan gets 95%. China gets 90%. Many of the Europeans get quite a bit.
A year 13 pupil and a university student have died after an outbreak of a rare form of invasive meningitis in the Canterbury area. And Michael Sheen's career is taking a bit of a turn as he's to become a quiz show host. The Welsh actor will take over from Richard Osman on House of Games. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So there is that yellow weather warning. That is for coastal overtopping. Comes into effect at 8:30 tomorrow morning. It's until 12:30. Tomorrow. It's the usual places, really. Shore Road in Rushen, Castletown Prom and the northern end of Douglas Prom, to a lesser extent potentially also Laxey Prom as well. The general forecast for this evening, it's going to be pretty cloudy, a few pockets of drizzle at times. It's going to be quite foggy as well. Strong south-southwest winds, a minimum temperature overnight will be around 8. And then tomorrow, again cloudy, further outbreaks of drizzle. That will mainly be over the hills where it's going to stay quite foggy as well. Windy though, a strong south-southwest wind, especially gusty in the north of the island. Top temperatures tomorrow 11. Much lighter winds on Wednesday, but it will be overcast to start with, some drizzle, also the risk again of some coastal mist, but it will improve on Wednesday afternoon. Some bright or sunny intervals and highest temperatures will be around 13.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be celebrating 40 years serving the Isle of Man's glazing needs. Visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
It's 4.5 minutes past 5. Well, we heard this morning that plans for a 12-storey multi-purpose development in Douglas had been given planning approval. Chair of the Planning Committee, Rob Callister, MHK, said during the hearing that he couldn't support the Lord Street site remaining vacant any longer. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the meeting and has more details.
As part of the approval for the Lord Street scheme, it was agreed that commuted sums to affordable housing and public open spaces will be capped at £1.1 million and £473,000 respectively. The scheme will also be subject to a two-stage review, which would be if no substantial development had taken place within 2 years, and the second when 75% of the residential units have sold. Mr. Callister told the committee that the site has been an empty brownfield site for more than 2 decades, and it has the full support of Douglas Council. He added that the site hasn't generated any economic activity and hasn't contributed in terms of jobs, business rates or footfall. He also said it had missed multiple regeneration opportunities. The development will see a multi-screen cinema, office space, 12 commercial units, a green roof terrace, 85 residential apartments and 94 private vehicle spaces. It will also have a bus information centre, public toilets, a bus driver welfare area and 5 bus stands on Lord Street with associated waiting areas. The planning committee was in favour of the development and the 19 conditions and voted 4-2 to approve it.
That is local democracy reporter Emma Draper there. Now, this was the subject of much conversation on Man and Line, as you might expect, with Alex at midday. We will be speaking to Rob Callister, MHK, the chair of the planning committee, tomorrow. And all being well, you'll hear that interview or certainly part of it on Man and Line tomorrow lunchtime. Coming up to 5:06. Well, a school leaders' union says the experiences of its members do not match the picture being presented to Tynwald's whistleblowing inquiry. Now, the select committee examining how whistleblowing policies are implemented heard evidence from senior public servants last week, including the boss of the Department of Education. But the National Association of Head Teachers, or NAHT, believes many of its members feel their concerns have been overlooked or ignored. Well, political correspondent Christian Jones is just here with me now. Fastamai, Christian, let's just begin with what the union's actually saying.
Yeah, Fastamai Beth. So the union says the evidence given to the committee doesn't reflect what many of its members say they've experienced in practice. The union represents school leaders, senior staff in the education system, and has submitted its own evidence to the inquiry too. But its Assistant General Secretary thinks the priority should be making sure staff at every level feel able to raise concerns without fear and have confidence that the systems designed to protect them actually work.
And we should say this all comes after tensions between the NAHT and the Department of Education last year.
Yeah, that's right. So the NAHT was involved in an industrial dispute with the department. The union claimed the government was misusing disciplinary procedures and raised concerns about how some policies were being applied. Members even voted in favour of taking industrial action ahead of the autumn turn, although it was ultimately avoided after an agreement was reached to make progress on a number of issues and continue talks.
So then, Christian, what is the union calling for now?
So it claims it submitted detailed correspondence to the government, setting out where it believes further investigation may be needed. Among the suggestions are an independent review of previous processes, greater transparency and improvements to how cases involving senior officers are handled. And it has stressed how important the committee's work is, because it says strong and trusted whistleblowing systems benefit not only staff and school leaders, but also the wider public.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. We will be speaking to the head of the NAHT on this programme tomorrow, so we'll bring you more details then. Now, doctors on the Isle of Man have claimed a critical shortfall in inpatient bed capacity at Nobles Hospital is posing a direct risk to people's lives. The Medical Staff Committee is calling for immediate government intervention to support the simultaneous demands of emergency admissions and planned surgery. It claims Manx Care has reduced the number of beds by 46%. This is something the health body disputes. Chief Executive of Manx Care, Theresa Cope, acknowledges it's been an incredibly difficult winter and says efforts to configure wards have come at the worst possible time.
We do recognise that we have been under pressure, and it's not ideal to care for patients in the emergency department for a long period of time. We absolutely know that is not ideal. But if a patient is waiting for a bed on one of our wards, they are nursed on a bed. So they're not on a trolley, they're not out in the waiting room, they are nursed on a bed. And there are comfort rounds to ensure they are getting ward-based care, albeit it's not in a ward environment, it is in the emergency department. But all steps are taken to make sure the care is appropriate. But I have to caveat that by saying none of this is how we would ideally wish for care to be delivered. We are responding to some real pressures. We need a bigger emergency department. We do need a clear pathway in the clinical decision unit to be available as quickly as possible. And we do need to make sure that as soon as our patients are medically optimised, first, they are able to leave hospital. And that's another area of focus.
As well as highlighting the issue with what they perceive to be the bed shortages, they have talked a lot about the impact that that's actually having on the doctors personally and how they feel that it's impairing their ability to practice, I guess. I mean, you're a human being. You must be quite moved by some of the comments that they've made. They've described it as moral injury.
And I acknowledge that, yes. I mean, we are all in the caring profession because we care. We care about people. It's fundamentally ingrained in us, and no one wants to be able to see suffering or not be able to do our very best job. We recognise the pressure that the NHS and health and care is under across the world does lead to people feeling that level of moral injury. I feel it. Me and my team feel it. I acknowledge that in these roles, these very difficult roles, moral injury is something which people do experience. But that's where we want to support. That's where supervision speaking to us. You know, one of my disappointments is that this was not brought to my attention, really. No, the chair of the medical staffing committee has not sat down with me. We are actively discussing all of these. We're discussing all of these solutions at board level. We know how important it is to get this right. And unfortunately, this isn't the way to do it. We all want to work together to deliver the best health and care for the island. And I'm very much part of that solution, as are my exec team and the wider board. We are absolutely listening. And we are trying to do as much as we can. But it's like you say, can I just magic up two wards? No. Who could? Who could? So we have to do things differently, and we have to work together.
That is the Manx Care Chief Executive Theresa Cope speaking there to Tessa Hawley about bed shortages at the hospital. Much more to that interview. You can hear it in full in the latest episode of Newscast, and you can find that on the Manx Radio website. It's 12 minutes past five, so today marks the final day of the latest round of strike action by the Isle of Man bus drivers. Further negotiations, we understand, have been taking place in recent days. We did understand, again, that another meeting was due to take place today. We don't know whether or not that has happened. We're waiting for confirmation on that. But in the meantime, drivers have been out on the picket lines, joined by union representatives. Lewis Foster has this report.
The sun was cracking the flags of Unite and the NASUWT outside Bank Circus on Saturday as shoppers passing by in their cars honked their horns. This dispute is over pay and conditions, and over the weekend, the Trade Union Council posted an anonymous letter from a bus driver which said, "You may have heard that drivers have rejected six offers. From the outside, that can sound unreasonable, so I want to explain our position as simply and honestly as I can. Our basic pay is just over £16 an hour, and we're not asking for that to increase. We are simply asking for time and a half for hours worked over our 37-hour week, and for Saturdays, Sundays and bank holidays. At the moment, they say, we are paid the same flat rate no matter when we work." They go on to say that the offers that have been made so far mostly change the structure of pay rather than addressing the overtime and weekend rates drivers have asked for. Well, meanwhile, the Department of Infrastructure says it's committed to negotiating a mutually acceptable settlement. Unite the Union's regional officer, Debbie Halsall, told me the latest.
I think there's been questions raised, and we're asking for the answers now on what that looks like as regards to figures, etc. And just let's see where we go. We will have to comply with the Trade Union Act, and we will be writing to the employer if talks break down and there's no reasonable offer put on the table.
The NASUWT's representative, Geraldine O'Neill, was also there. The teaching union has offered its support to striking drivers.
The major important point, I understand people are inconvenienced and also the public are suffering because of this, and I would say in this kind of industrial action, for a group of workers to take this action, for this to be necessary, then the people you need to get to do something about this is go to your MHKs, write to Bus Vannan, write to the DOI and get them to come to the table and negotiate what the drivers want to improve their conditions. I think what they're asking for are fair terms and conditions, and really that's why we're supporting it.
Whether today's talks yield a breakthrough is yet to be seen. And whilst regular service is set to resume tomorrow, a fourth round of strike action is set to get underway on Friday.
Lewis Foster reporting. As I say, we haven't heard any confirmation about whether or not a meeting took place this afternoon. We have asked a question, so we'll bring you those details as soon as we have them.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing major to report on the roads as far as we understand. It's the main things that are happening. The Old Castletown Road, it's closed at the White Ho. That's until next Wednesday. That's the 25th of March. Still those temporary lights on Cool Road near the Business Park and on Braddon Road, just up from Brabham Bridge. Until the end of the month, the bottom end of Bridge Street in Peel is closed. That's for gas main work. And there are still temporary lights at the top of Derby Road. So that's just between the swimming pool and Ballaquain Road. In Castletown, temporary lights between King William's College and the airport. That's for water main works. And again in Castletown, temporary lights on Maloo Road near Great Meadow, and that is for wall repairs. All looking good down at the airport. We know tomorrow's Mananin sailing to Dublin, unfortunately, has been cancelled because of the weather. The next steam packet sailing, it's the Manxman due into Douglas at around about 5:45 and heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside. Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate. Quayside!
It's just gone 5:15 here on Update, and a local mobile catering van says it's disappointed not to be visiting Castletown because of a dispute with the local authority. Philby's says it offered the commissioners 42 dates for the year, and after a number of emails, the local authority returned with 6 that they could operate on. The board says it was happy for Philby's to have their mobile unit in Market Square, but the decision was made solely by the business, according to the commissioners. Well, local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Jess, Adele and Scott Philby.
The way they've released their statement, they've just put the 6 dates to work with the market. Now, that was them recommending. It wasn't them giving us any dates at all, neither.
As long as the market would want us.
Yeah.
Which we don't even know if the market would want us.
We'd be more than happy to work alongside them, but it's just unfortunate those dates don't work out with what we've given them.
Unfortunately, the other 42 dates were not accepted.
So that's where we said it's kind of been blown out of proportion with our statement. We just stated that our proposal hasn't been accepted, which we feel is a fair remark.
We didn't do this out of malice. We have had no problem with Castletown. We love Castletown. We love being there.
The people have been great. The businesses have been great while we're there. You know, it's just...
And we didn't do this out of malice, but we feel like it's been taken to another level. Just crazy.
If the bridges with the commissioners aren't burnt, would you consider going back to Castletown?
100%. We love Castletown.
The pop-ups we did there, they were absolutely amazing, and we had such good feedback from a lot of the locals as well as a lot of our regulars that came down.
We do pop-ups around the island. We very much try to fit in with the community. We understand that there's other businesses there doing certain things. So when we go, for example, to Castletown, we don't do tea and coffee because there's 2 or 3 places that do it.
We don't do cakes.
We don't do cakes because you've got Jenny who does fantastic cakes. We don't touch the breakfast market because you have the house and the garret. You have Stanley's around the corner. We stay away from certain things and try to bring our own twist to the town that other people aren't doing.
In our original proposal that we put through, we even said that we were happy to meet with the Leisure Committee and talk about the businesses that are around and coordinate our menus to basically suit them so that we weren't stepping on any toes.
That's Jess, Adele and Scott from Philby's there. 5:17, and a group of students on the Isle of Man has criticised the lack of research into women's health. Representatives from the island secondary schools and UCM have been taking part in a special International Women's Day junior Timwood sitting, and one of the debates was all about the gaps in women's healthcare. Lizzie Barker, Imogen Graham and Kira Tristram are all students at Castle Rushen.
Worldwide, there's been a significant proof towards how millions and millions of women do not have any knowledge on their own reproductive and menstrual health. And it's been proven that 1.5 million biological women who suffer with endometriosis in the UK are untreated and have no diagnosis. And then with more research towards things like endometriosis, then more women can get their diagnosis. And it's been also proven that with women who have endometriosis, they've not been able to have any help from professionals on how to cope with it. So many women worldwide have actually taken their own lives for it. And so with more education, more treatment, more clinical trials, then that number of women's suicide will decrease.
How did you feel when you started doing this research? I mean, what were your thoughts about what the situation is?
When I first started doing research, I was actually really shocked that this is so heavily overlooked and just like brushed under the carpet. So I think definitely raising awareness will make a big difference.
What are you hoping for out of the debate?
Hopefully the government will see, and hopefully there'll be more awareness that women deserve more funding and more clinical trials towards their own bodily health. And then with these further researchers on women's health, then hopefully there'll be more cures and treatments implicated into healthcare systems, so women can understand their own bodies. And by seeing all of the research that has been done but just has not been presented.
There's an election coming up in September. Are you hoping that at least some of the people who'll be standing for the Keys will take note of what you've been saying in Tynwald today?
Yes, definitely. I hope so. So that there can be some changes made on the island to the healthcare system for women, and also in the workplace, because it affects them there as well.
That is some of the students from Castle Rushen High School talking to Phil there. It was a subject of yesterday's perspective, so you can hear much more about that special International Women's Day Junior Tynwald sitting if you go to the Manx Radio website. Now, a charity on the Isle of Man that helps people facing financial difficulties says it's seen a significant rise in the amount of debt people are dealing with. And today actually marks the start of Debt Awareness Week. Figures from the Salvation Army show the scale of this issue really is growing. In 2024, its team here on the island supported 193 people with debts totalling around £364,000. Already this year, up to the beginning of March, that figure has climbed to £2.2 million. We're going to hear now from debt advisors Wes Taylor and Paul DeWeed and First Debt Coordinator Debbie White.
I've got an iWatch on my hand, you know, so I've actually got something that's constantly buzzing at me. And so if you're not resilient, suddenly those offers to buy are taken up in our lack of resilience, or it might be a time we're feeling particularly vulnerable. So it's just actually looking at how we manage our budget. And it's those sorts of things that then creep into new habits, which means that then there's more and more need. So I think we are finding a lot more of that. Mental health is a big thing, job losses, those sorts of things, and also relationship issues as well. You know, you don't see them coming. You've signed up to a contract and then you haven't got the dual income coming into the household. So it can be a challenge for people.
Everybody thinks budgeting for businesses and banks and everything has to go through their budget, but it really comes down to the individual. I lost my wife last year, so I've had to redo my budget. And I think it's very important, literally, to put it down on paper. Because sometimes if you don't put it down on paper, things get lost. You know, you forget about, oh yes, my insurance on my car, oh yes, oh my insurance, you know, for something else. If you want to go on holiday, well, you have to put some money away to go on holiday. But I think it's very, very important for the individual to take on things like that. I think it's very important.
I think there are always new ways that firms try to persuade us to part with our money. It's what commercial businesses are there for. So you have to accept when something different is available. Marketing departments will want to take advantage of that. Certainly the buy now, pay later has left a few people in trouble because they've signed up to it without really considering what the implications are. And when you look at some of the interest rates that buy now, pay later charge, it can be high 30s%. It is a scary number. I see in the UK they're now starting to look at actually regulating that type of credit. I hope that's something that will be copied here.
That are debt advisors Paul DeWeed, Wes Taylor and Debbie White from the Isle of Man Salvation Army. Now, do you know how to communicate at all using sign language? Today is the start of Sign Language Week, and it really is aiming to encourage people of all ages to learn British Sign Language. On Friday, the Manx Deaf Society is hosting two taster sessions for anyone who wants to give it a go and learn the basics. You do need to book a place, and we'll give you those details in just a moment. Lucy Buxton from that charity has been talking to Christy.
If you are the person living in a country where of, let's say, 80,000 people, there are probably 100 that you can communicate with. All it takes is one extra person, and you've increased by 1%, two people, 2%, 10 people, you have increased by 10% the number of people that you can just say, hello, how are you? How are you doing today? Isn't the weather dreadful? Mm-hmm. Isn't the weather glorious?
It says little bits. If you go to a different country, you would probably learn some basic phrases in that country to be able to speak to people in that language. Indeed. And so this is much the same in a way, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, we have native born Manx people who are British Sign Language users.
You do see sign language a lot on television. We have it at the Gaiety Theatre, the signed performances now as well. It is something that is still in use, and people do actually make it accessible, don't they, as well? It's still out there for people to make use of.
It does. And it's not just sign language users who might be using sign language. So somebody like me, a little bit of sign supported English, I can pick up those signs. When we come to the TT, for example, we have a sign language interpreter in the grandstand for senior day and the Saturday following. So the last 2 days of race week, hopefully it's going to happen and take place this year. And she will interpret to that section of the grandstand to anybody who's a sign language user. Amazingly, I had a message from a friend about 2 weeks ago who's in Australia. And they were watching some motorbike racing there, got talking to someone who said, you know, they said they were from the Isle of Man. I was at the TT. I was watching somebody doing sign language. And they worked in a school for deaf children, so they knew sign language. They weren't a sign language user themselves. But that message has gone all the way around, all the way to Australia. So it's just amazing how far it gets.
That is Lucy Buxton from the Manx Deaf Society. You can call or message 202-875 or email contact@manxdeafsociety.org.im. There are limited places for those taster sessions on Friday. 25 past five. Live Sport here on Update is brought to you by the Print Shed, and we say fastamai to Darren this evening.
Fastamai, and starting with FC Isle of Man, Rick Hall and side were beaten 2-1 by Chadderton in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday. Manx side were 1-0 down within 10 minutes. Mark Blair made a good initial save, however the ball fell to prolific goalscorer Lewis Simon Byrne, who put the ball away into an empty net with Bear left stranded. Byrne got his second on the 70th minute. Again, the first shot was saved, but the ball fell into the striker's path to double the lead. Sam Gelling provided the Ravens a lifeline when he scored with 15 minutes to go. However, Chadderton's defence was strong, with the visitors taking all 3 points. FC Isle of Man will face Cheadle Town next Saturday at the Ball at kickoff at 6 p.m. In a local game, Colby have strengthened their promotion push with a win over title rivals Costertown in the Arden and Drogon Division 2. Colby won 2-1, pushing their neighbours closer to Moran, whose victory at the weekend puts them in touching distance of Costertown. In the Canada Life Premier League, Peel put in a statement win to keep on the heels of Corinthians. They won 12-1 over Onken. The Whites, meanwhile, had to settle for a draw away to Ayr United. Elsewhere, Foxdale, who are bottom of the league, put in a strong performance to take a point against St John's. In hockey, two Backers men's teams have pushed closer to winning the first league trophies of the 2026 season. Backers could win the Premier League next weekend after they beat Valkyrs 4-1 this Saturday. Backers B, meanwhile, beat Ramsey and could also win the Division 1 next Saturday. In the Ladies Premier League, Castletown A beat Castletown B 13-0. And in the Counties 3, ADM Lancashire Cheshire Vagabonds lost 19-15 to Congleton.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. That's all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil Gorn. Tonight, talking about two MHK's experiences at the Commonwealth Women's Parliamentary Conference. So do stay tuned for that. And Chris Kinney will be here at 6 with Greatest Hits. Have a lovely evening. Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.